Welcome to the OFR Farm Report, your look at the Atlanta Braves minor league system, brought to you by OutfieldFlyRule.com, hosted by Andy Harris and Matt Kritzberg.
Hey everybody, welcome back to the OFR Farm Report. With me as always is my co-host, Matt. Hey Matt, what a difference 2 weeks makes.
Yeah, we have baseball now, so that's a good thing. The strange part about this whole thing, though, is that once the CBA was, I guess, ratified, everybody's expecting an NBA-type free agency scenario where you'd see a million signings all at once, and it really just hasn't turned out that way.
Yeah, and now that I think about it, I'm guessing I shouldn't be surprised as it's come out that not only obviously were GMs and front office people not allowed to talk to anybody on the 40-man roster or their agents, but also they weren't really supposed to talk amongst themselves in regarding to like anything that happened after CBA ratification. So I think I was under the assumption there was probably at least they could talk with each other about possible trades and things like that, but apparently that was not happening.
Yeah, so there's kind of deals trickling out more so trades than and the big free agent signings. But you're seeing a lot of free agent signings on the low end, like a lot of minor league invites and teams like the Rockies and the Nationals kind of picking over the bargain bin major league deals.
Yeah, we did see Carlos Rodon, who was, maybe after Kershaw was probably the biggest arm left on the market. Pickings for starting pitcher now is really, really slim. I guess Zach Greinke's still out there, and I still think that he may be a potential fit for the Braves on a 1 year deal. It came out this week that before the lockout that the Braves were interested in Justin Verlander on a 1 year deal. He obviously ended up re-signing back with Houston on a big 1 year deal, 1 year, $25 million. I guess that was just a little too rich for Anthopoulos' blood, and I probably agree with him on that, but I can see them maybe doubling back on a veteran like Greinke.
Yeah, and plus on the Verlander deal, I believe that there's a second-year option that kicks in if he pitches 130 innings, so I think that it makes it even more rich and for Alex's blood.
Yeah. All right, so let's talk about the lockout a little bit, or let's not talk about the lockout. Let's talk about the CBA. Let's talk specifically about the parts of the CBA that directly impact minor leagues. Probably right off the bat, we need to talk about everybody on the 40-man roster, even if they're in the minor leagues, gets a bump in salary.
Yeah, in particular, guys who will be affected by this for the Braves this year would be like, let's say, Brooks Wilson, Alon Rangel. If they were operating under the 2021, the old rules, their first year on the 40-man roster, they'd be looking to make $46,600 per year. Obviously, nowhere near what a major leaguer makes, but substantially more than they had been making in the past. Now, that $46,600 has been bumped up this season to $57,200, which is a pretty substantial bump. And it goes up about over the course of the CBA over the 5 years, it'll go up between about $1,500 to $2,000 every year. So that is not a small chunk of change. Now, the second year that they're on the 40-man roster, but still not in the major leagues, under the old CBA, it was $93,000. Beginning this year, that number goes to $114,100 with a roughly $3,000 bump each year after that. So, I mean, that's some pretty substantial numbers out there, not just for the major leaguers, but for some minor leaguers as well.
Yeah, and for a guy like Kyle Wright, let's say that he doesn't make the roster, he's back in AAA. This would then be his, I think, fourth year on the 40-man roster. But in AAA, I think he's now making well over $120,000 at this point, even when he's just on the AAA roster. So that's a substantial. And again, it's always been known you really want to try to get on the 40-man roster at the minimum, and that is especially so now.
Yeah, because obviously during the lockout, guys we were talking about like Wilson or Rangel, they were in a really bad position because they've never played one day in the major leagues, but yet they're in the union and had to be sitting out due to the lockout, but now they've reaped the rewards of that same lockout.
Yeah. And another new CBA rule that's going to have some impact on the way the kind of the minor leagues operate, at least at AAA. There's now an option. I'm sorry. There is now a rule saying that you can only be optioned 5 times in a given season. Previously, it was unlimited. Your option is used, and that option allows a team to recall you and drop you back down basically as much as they want over that given year. Some teams were really abusing it. Obviously, the Braves were using it quite a bit, but teams like the Rays and the Dodgers and some other teams, you were talking about some guys that were getting, I think I saw one guy got brought up and sent down 15 times over the course of the season. So that will help those guys out, because that really was a quality of life problem with guys kind of on that shuttle.
Yeah, and in the case of the Braves, just last season, for instance, Johan Camargo was optioned 8 times. Which is, I mean, this is definitely the limiting to 5 would definitely put a dent into that. Now, I believe they can try to option them a 6th time, but what happens at that point, they're exposed to waivers, and any team can pick them up at that point. But so I imagine you'll still see teams kind of treat that as a cap, or they won't try to go above and beyond that number.
Right. And also helping this, and we're really talking about pitchers mostly. You mentioned Johan Camargo, that happened to him several times, but really the pitchers are the ones that are kind of bearing the brunt of this kind of up and down thing. So another thing that helps them, the injured list, they had reduced the time that had to be spent when you were put on the injured list from 15 to 10 days a few years ago. Well, that has now been expanded back out to 15 days for pitchers only. So I know they reduced it to 10 mostly because they wanted players to go on the injured list when they were hurt, right? That there was this, with the 15 days, there was kind of this, cult built around never going on the injured list, trying to play through pain and that ended up hurting a lot of guys. So they lowered it to 10 days so people could go on the injured list and then not hurt their team by trying to play through pain so much. But they expanded out for 15 for pitchers. And I think this is mostly, again, to keep this up and down thing from happening.
Yeah, because at 10 days, teams were basically weaponizing it and turning it to almost a de facto taxi squad and really expanding their – they had a 13-man roster. A 13-man pitching staff is almost really expanding it to 16, with some of them kind of being off to the side for a few days here and there.
Yeah. And the new roster limits, I'm not sure when this is going to affect or – I know there's been talk about expanding rosters for this April simply because of the lack of ramp up time they have because spring training is going to be abbreviated. But the 26 man roster, only 13 are supposed to be pitchers. I think that's probably going to get a bit relaxed early on. And they're also talking about, like I said, expanding it to maybe 28 players in April.
Yeah, I could see that happening, and with the two extra players being pitchers, there's really no need for extra position players because with the universal DH now, obviously that you're going to have 9 players in the batting order, plus you'll probably have 4 backups, so that's your 13, and I don't see any reason to expand beyond that because, you're not going to need another backup infielder or something like that. So basically bumping up from 13 to 15 pitchers with there being a couple of extra relievers. And those couple of extra arms for the Braves, that could be some potentially interesting scenarios happening there.
Yeah, and let's talk about some of the arms that may be a part of that pitcher. The Braves today, on the first day of players reporting today, we're recording here on Sunday the 13th, they finally announced their non-roster invites. I was wondering if they were even going to do this. Matt just figured they would bring over people from the minor league camp as they needed, but they did in fact put out a short list of non-roster invitees. So let's talk about those real quick. Specifically, I want to talk the arms, probably the more interesting part of this. All right-handed pitchers: Jaceel De La Cruz, Bryce Elder, Darren O'Day, Darius Vines, and Victor Vodnik. And we know that there are some other arms that are now part of the 40-man roster that guys may not be aware of, like William Woods, who's obviously already who would already be in Major League camp, Freddie Tarnox in Major League camp, Brooks Wilson, as you mentioned before, is already in Major League camp. But of these four, De La Cruz, Elder, O'Day, Vines, Vodick, I think certainly O'Day is you can almost pencil him into the Major League bullpen at this point, right?
Yeah. They got basically a guarantee. They just got him in just so he wouldn't count against the 40-man roster initially that they signed with that minor league invite.
Yeah. And of the other four, I don't know if any of them are going to be opening day things, but I think it's very likely that the Braves may go with like a 6-man rotation, at least for the first several weeks. And which case Elder may be a consideration there.
Yeah, the thing that's holding him back is not being on the 40-man right now, but I mean, I think at some point this season he's going to get major league starts in this rotation, so getting him exposure here would definitely help out as well. I'm going to be intrigued to see how they use Victor Vodnik, because obviously the last couple of seasons they've been trying to develop him as a starter, but I kind of wonder, okay, if they're going to bring him into major league camp, let's see how they use him. If they use him in one-inning stints late in games, that could be potentially interesting.
Yeah, he was an interesting inclusion because normally when you see a guy like that on the roster, he's probably going to be used in short stints. And then once he's sent down, he'll be stretched out in minor league camp. But the minor leagues are actually going to start before the major leagues this year, or at least AAA will. I think the lower levels, I think, will start almost simultaneously with the major leagues. So unless they send him down pretty much right away, there's not going to be that opportunity. So I'm wondering if they're already thinking about, making him a reliever at this point. I wouldn't be thrilled with that, but that might be his best route to the major leagues at this point.
Yeah, because, I mean, there's such a starter backlog right now, particularly at the Gwinnett level. Vodnik, I imagine, based off of last season, would probably repeating Mississippi as if you chose to use him as a starter, but if they choose to use him as a reliever, it could be a different story. Darius Vines is also interesting, but I mean, obviously, he finished up at Rome last season. I can't imagine they're even considering him for anything like that, and I figure he's one that they'll probably send back down pretty early on. He might get a cup of coffee at the major league camp and then send him on down to get stretched out for his regular season debut.
Yeah, he strikes me as an inclusion that the front office put on there basically just to give the major league coaches an opportunity to get some eyes on him. They're probably not familiar with Vines at all, like they are maybe with some other guys. So, and Vines is a little bit of an older guy, and I mean, he's not old by any stretch of the imagination, but for a guy that hasn't come out of A-ball yet, he's a little bit older just because he was a senior when he was drafted. So maybe they're looking at someone that may be able to help later in the year as a reliever, but I think he'll be a starter early on in the season at probably at Mississippi.
Yeah. And then among the other candidates here, I mean, you got Hendrick Clementina and Shea Langeliers. I mean, obviously you just need catchers. You need somebody to catch all these arms that are in camp, so they'll stick around at least in the short term. And the infield is basically the infield you're probably going to see at the Gwinnett level, maybe a little bit at Mississippi as well. I mean, Ryan Goins, Yariel Gonzalez, John Nagowski, and Braden Shoemake. I mean, a lot of these are going to be guys that are going to be filling in late in games, give it a few innings, let the regulars come out, and let guys like this take over for the remainder of the game. And the outfield, though, is a little bit intriguing as well. You got Jesse Franklin and Michael Harris. More than likely, they'll both be debuting at Mississippi, but I imagine they won't get some decent looks at them in camp as well. I know Michael Harris last season made a pretty sterling impression at spring training, so I'd like to see Jesse Franklin do something like that as well.
Yeah, interesting. No Justin Dean or Trey Harris, who were non-roster invitees last year, so not included this year. And again, it may just have to do with the abbreviated spring training. They just may not have had enough reps for those guys. Hey, can we celebrate a little bit? Hendrick Clementina,
finally, that's our guy.
getting the chance,
getting some shine.
That's right. getting in front of those major league coaches, they're going to look at that guy and say, hey, we could use this hoss up here.
Say, what have we been missing with all these other all these other guys getting a publicity? And hey, look, this guy's just sitting there waiting to shine right in front of us.
He's going to go up there and they go, my God, all these other catchers are so small.
They needed a offensive guard type in behind the plate.
Someday he's going to make it to the majors. He's going to be like this. I'm going to date myself here going early 90s Braves here. But remember Jerry Willard?
Oh, yeah.
He was a catcher, and I'm using quotation marks here. A catcher that also just, you know, you put him up there and he'd hit dingers. You know, that's all he did.
He technically owns a catcher's mitt.
Yes. Yeah, and I feel like compelled to say, with Freddie Freeman not in camp yet, you know, all of the Braves world are eagerly refreshing Twitter every 5 minutes to see if there's news on Freddie Freeman. John Nogowski Jr. and Yariel Gonzalez do have first base experience. If either of those guys makes the team, something very, very wrong has occurred.
Yeah, I know a lot of the roster sites, they've got Orlando Arcia as the current starting first baseman.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't imagine anything like that is going to occur. One way or another, there will be a first baseman acquired in some fashion to play for this team this season, but it's not one of those guys.
Yeah. You want to speculate?
No.
neither do I.
I do feel like, though, that there's going to be a wave of acquisition. Like, when moves start coming down, it's not going to be one move. There might be 3-4 moves within 24 hours for the Braves.
I feel like literally all of baseball is waiting for Freddie Freeman to make a decision. And then that just will, like, unstop the dam.
Yeah, because I hear all the other things about where's Matt Olson going, Carlos Correa, and then, yeah, those are the guys at the top of the food chain right now, and then everything's going to come loose. It's going to be all at once. I'm just really shocked by how little has happened so far. I mean, there's been a couple of days. I mean, they had the Sonny Gray trade today. That was a pretty solid trade, and the Mitch Garver trade yesterday. So, I mean, there's been a little bit of activity, but it's just not been anywhere near what was expected.
Yeah, the Chris Bassett trade kind of threw me off yesterday. I think that's a great trade for the Mets, and that's something that I don't think or say very often.
Oh, not at all. And I mean, it's only for a year, but, I mean, they had to give up a JT Ginn for him and another prospect. So, I mean, it's that deepens that rotation for the Mets and makes them a little more dangerous. But meanwhile, you also see things like the Phillies where their rotation's already in a shambles at the beginning of spring training. So different things all around the league. But hopefully everything will get started pretty quickly here so we can get everybody in camp where they need to be and get them working together so we can be ready for opening day.
And then the Braves have made a couple of signings this past week. We won't spend too much time on them, but some minor league signings. Right-hander Brandon Brennan was picked up. He's a former Mariners prospect. He had a couple of years with them. And then last year was picked up by the Red Sox. And he actually pitched 3 innings for them in 1 game. So a little bit of major league experience there. He's had, you know, okay success in the major leagues, but obviously not overwhelming. Otherwise, he would still be with Seattle or Boston probably. His most experience is 2019. He appeared in 44 games in relief with the big league Mariners. So, you know, another guy with experience. He was actually pretty good in 2019. So I don't know if the Braves can maybe unlock with something that's another potential bullpen arm for down the road a little bit. If not, then it's somebody that can give innings in Gwinnett. The other guy is Arden Pabst. He's a former Georgia Tech blue ribbon catcher. And sorry.
If you didn't make the joke, I was going to.
Really not much of a hitter, like, at all, but considered a strong defensive performer. He's already been added to the Mississippi roster. Looking on outfield fly rule at our depth chart, the catchers that we had at have currently are Logan Brown, who missed half the season after being injured at high A last year, the aforementioned Hendrick Clementina, and Mitch Calandra, who's basically a guy that they can move around wherever there's an injury. I don't think there's somebody that they're going to count on. So obviously there was probably a need at double A here that I think Paps is going to fill there.
Yeah, and especially, let's say, if there's a trade in spring training, because there's always speculation around William Contreras if that happens and that everybody else moves up a notch, so that could still shake things loose. But yeah, they just needed depth in the organization at the catching position.
They need to back off my buddy Willie. Sorry.
That's okay. They could just substitute Chadwick Tromp for Contreras in any deal and it'd be just the same.
It's exactly the same. Yeah, that was an interesting transaction that happened this week too. Chadwick Tromp, who I believe was already on the 40-man roster, got signed. And I wonder if this was just since he has major league experience, they're signing him to a split contract where he gets maybe a little minor league bump.
Yeah, and plus he has just over a 1 year of service time. So I imagine they just want to get him slightly above the minimum.
Well, it's a 49, 50, 51, 52, 53, 54, 55, 56, 57, 58, 59 automobile. It's a 60, 61, 62, 63,
all right. 64, so 65, 66. I only got one other thing to talk about. Not too long ago, a week and a half ago, Matt, we came out with our prospect list.
Yep, it's still a pretty solid list. Got our top 30 here. It's not quite as impressive as it has been in years past. You can see all the national media is starting to move the Braves farm system ranking down some more than others. For the most part, it's still kind of in the mid range, like the 15-ish mark. But I've seen a couple of places start to dip down into the 20s. But I mean, there are still a lot of solid names here at the top and a few intriguing names in the middle. But yeah, it's not quite as deep as it used to be, but it's still a pretty fun list.
Yeah, I think most places still have us with two or three players in their top 100s. You know, it's usually Pache, Langoliers, or pretty much top 100s everywhere. Sometimes you get a Michael Harris picking in there as well. Baseball Prospectus, ever the group most likely to kind of go outside the norm, have Kyle Muller as their top pick. But our top four was actually exactly the same as it was midseason last year. It was it's Harris, Pache, Langoliers, and Waters. Now, we made this list, I guess, you know, we finalized this list back in, January or something like that. And looking at it now, do you ever go, I don't know about that anymore?
Not really. It's tough to slot the international guys, especially since they've never played stateside at all between Diego Benitez and Ambioris Tavares, number 13 and number 17, respectively. So it's a little tough to slot those guys, but I think overall, everybody kind of came out where should be. Everybody kind of ended up in the tiers they should be in.
Right. So when we have here, like our pitchers, we have a glut of pitchers kind of starting at five with Spencer Strider, and then we get Muller, Elder, Davidson, Cusick, kind of in a run there. In my mind, I don't know about you, but in my mind, those are all almost interchangeable.
Yeah, very much so. That's like kind of that. It's that tier. I guess Strider, Muller is kind of that first tier, and then after that, you kind of got that second tier, and then it goes down another tier from there. Once you get down to, I would say maybe past Schuster, you get down to like Estes, Schwellenbach, Vodnik, Vines. That would be kind of a tier three.
Right, guys that we like, but they've still certainly got something to prove.
Yeah. I was going to say, another thing is kind of showing how shallow the infield depth is in this organization. I mean, you got the two international guys in there who we've never even seen play, but beyond that, you're talking about Vaughn Grissom at number 10, Braden Shoemake at number 15, and Luke Waddell at number 28, and that's it. That's basically it for the infield.
Yeah, we really needed those sanctions to go away, and unfortunately it didn't. It's not surprising that they've really attacked that infield positions with their early signings here. And then later on in the 20s, we got William Woods at 21. Nobody questioning the arm, just will he be able to provide innings? Is he a starter or is he a reliever? Those are all questions that remain. We have Jesse Franklin at 22, which I don't know, that seems to be consensus roughly where he is. Some places, particularly Baseball America, has him in the top 10, but most people, it seemed like, have him in the late teens, early 20s. And I think basically it's, he had that incredibly hot June and early July where he was kind of the best hitter in all the minor leagues for a little bit, and then otherwise was striking out so much. The tools are all there, obviously. The question is just, will he be able to consistently get to them?
Yeah, because, I mean, right now, I mean, his projection is kind of as a corner outfielder with power and not much else to work with here. But I think with a, now that he's kind of back on a full schedule after having to deal with COVID and having to deal with an injury his senior season at Michigan, I think now we'll be able to get a full picture. But I guess the bigger thing is now he's going to be having to go to Mississippi to play, and that could be let's see what happens with his power numbers once he gets to that level.
Yeah, and probably there's no better indication of kind of how shallow the list is now, unfortunately. We have three guys that are in the 23 to 25 that probably, if they make it to the majors, will be relievers. Indigo Diaz at 23, Brooks Wilson at 24, Alan Rangel at 25. And that's nothing against those guys at all. It's just that typically guys we think are going to be relievers, by the nature of them not throwing as many innings, they're not going to have as big of an impact even when they make the major league. So that there are three of them kind of right there in the 20s, where in the rebuild era, when we were talking about prospects in the 20s for the Braves, we were still talking about high impact potential players.
Yeah, and that's kind of speaks. I mean, it's not a shallow list by any means, but there is room to kind of question between that 20 to 30 mark. The top 20, 15 to 20 is still super strong, but yeah, once you get to that, towards the back end of the top 30, that's when you can make room for those kind of prospects, because you don't have any other starting pitchers that, I mean, like we last year, we had Jared Johnson in there, and it certainly didn't show us enough to merit being in that bottom part of that top 30 this season.
Right. Yeah, so that's a good way to actually compare teams. You know, compare us with a team that's widely regarded as having a top, top prospect list right now, like the Orioles or the Rays or the Mariners, teams like that. You look at their top 20, top 30. It's almost all guys that are projected to be starters in the major league or position players that are either going to be impact players or steady players. Very few guys that are already projected to be relievers that will be in those top prospect list. And we've got Jacile De La Cruz at 29 now, who, we actually non-tendered, right, back in November, and then reacquired, you know, basically to get him off the 40-man roster, almost certainly a reliever if he makes it to the major leagues at this point, but still in our top 30.
Yeah, the next version of the top 30, I think, is when things will really start getting interesting, because there'll be a number of graduations at the top. I mean, you got guys still up there like Tucker Davidson, Kyle Muller, Christian Pache, who all should probably surpass their minimums to be graduate off the list. And then as we get more eyes on the international players, like Douglas Gloed didn't make the our top 30, but I mean, he was a highly rated outfielder that was signed during this most recent international signing period. Once we get eyes on guys like that, we'll be able to slot them in with some confidence on the list as well. So I think you'll definitely see the ship kind of turn a little bit.
Certainly. All right. Well, Matt, anything else you want to talk about?
No, but I'm glad to at least get some of the uncertainty. We have baseball. We know there's going to be Major League Baseball. So that'll, and I'm sure the Gwinnett Stripers front office is delighted to hear that. So that they'll have at least somewhat of a representative team on the field. Now we just got to wait for this acquisitions period to shake out so we can know who's going to be playing at the Major League level this season.
Yep. We'll try to be back with you in another 2 weeks. At that point, we'll be looking at the actual Major League Baseball games, not too far in the distance, and hopefully resolution as far as what the Major League roster is. And of course, how that's going to impact the minor leagues as well. So tune back with us in 2 weeks. And Matt, I'll talk to you then.
All right. I'll have a good day now.
No. Ni le bien qu'on m'a fait, ni le mal, tout ça m'est bien égal. Non, rien de rien, non, je ne regrette rien, c'est payé. Allumer le feu, mes chagrins, mes plaisirs, je n'ai plus besoin d'eux. Balayer les amours avec leur trémolo, balayer pour toujours, je repars à zéro. Rien, ni le bien qu'on m'a fait, ni le mal, tout ça m'est bien égal. Non, rien de rien, non, je ne regrette rien, car ma vie, car mes jours. Ça commence.